I'd like to thank once again everyone I met at Waterloo, Iowa, for the Dan Gable National Wrestling Hall of Fame induction ceremonies last weekend. Had a great time. Everybody should try to get it if the museum is open. It's open every day except for Sunday. Great stuff to look at, great stuff to visit, and come see us next year when they do this again. So ought to be pretty cool. Anyway, this is the PW Torch Livecast. Every day that goes by, a little tear comes down my eye, but not because of this livecast. And yes, it is once again your chance to listen to my voice. I'm the senior columnist for the PW Torch, Bruce Mitchell, and I was on Jim Ross's podcast. If you haven't had a chance to listen at Podcast 1, to Jim Ross and I go over a ton of wrestling news. Lots of people liked it. I think Ross liked it too, and I did too. So go ahead and try that out. And an incredible coincidence on Interview Thursday with Wade Keller, his special guest was Jim Ross. So compare, contrast. See who's, you know, I mean, Jim Ross is the control, so you can see how we did, we being Mr. Keller and myself. So anyway, you know how this stuff goes, and or you don't. I don't know if you do or you don't. So anyway, just came in from the pool, so that's why my face is all red. I'm sure you're noticing it. Travis, good to hear from you again.
Yet again. What's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up?
Of course, this is Brand Split Week. This is the new show started off. Lots of stuff to talk about. Want people's opinions on the brand split. Also, I do want to ask every caller this question. When we get to this point, and you too, Travis, it's not do they have to, because we found out that not only does WWE using Brock Lesnar, but contractually he was not, he was not obligated to take any wellness tests and take any drug testing in WWE, and in fact, by contract, they cannot suspend him. But just let's take that one part out. I mean, I guess they could not use him. I guess they could put him, I guess they could just pay him and not use him. But should WWE be using Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
Tell me why.
They have no reason not to. Not because of what's in their paperwork that in his contract that says you can't. I'm hearing a bit of an echo. That you can't suspend him or whatever. They still fall under, they are under zero bodies, commissions. They do not have to adhere to anything that USADA, the USDA, or whatever, the anti-doping place, comes down with. They don't. I don't think, so that's my point. They don't have to go by them.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. No, they don't. But they do have a choice. I mean, we all have choices. They do have a choice. On the other hand, this exposes their drug and wellness policy. Exposed that it's not consistent or fair, or that they.
But that happens whether they sit him off TV or not. That's still exposed.
That's true, but
like
when
they decided.
Well, here's my thing. You've got Brock Lesnar all over SummerSlam publicity. You've got Brock Lesnar all over the national media because of what's ongoing with him and USADA, what's ongoing with him and UFC. It makes UFC look like they're cleaning their sport up, and it makes WWE look like since 2007.
It makes them
really
look like the same WWE that they've always been.
Right.
And
if you're,
and no one's going to care. ESPN might care for a little bit, but nothing's going to happen.
So no one cares?
No.
That's funny. No one cares. Yeah, okay. No, I pitched a book with a major publishing agent about 10 years ago, and that was the name of it. No one cares. So, about some of this stuff. So, they should use it. I mean, they should use him. They should send that message to all their talent. They should not worry about what black eye, if any, their publicly traded mainstream company would get by in comparison to UFC and how they're handling it. Even the illusion of a current up to date drug policy, in the public's eye, they're just going to look at it and go, well, Brock Lesnar, he got kicked out of UFC, he got kicked out of all that stuff. There he is wrestling. Clearly, those guys are all on something. I mean, the rest,
right.
You know, I mean,
which is what they thought before. That is nothing different than what they thought a month ago.
Well, they have had the publicity to not do that, and that's why one of the reasons they have a wellness policy is to clean up their image, is to look better. It's one of the reasons why they're doing Be a Star, one of the reasons why they're doing, you know, Make a Wish and all this, and pushing really hard is to have a nice, clean, wholesome image, mainstream, you know, corporate image. And this flies in the face of that. My opinion is you don't use them still, but I think I'm in the minority. My other opinion is that you change your, you know, you become you have an independent drug policy that is in line with the rest of the mainstream that you say you want to be a part of.
Oh, yeah, yes, I agree with all the things that you say, but
because inevitably, yeah. It's not only do you get busted, inevitably people start dying. People start dying from this, and I've been through several cycles of it in 26 years, and it's just how it works, you know. Just and they die from they die from not just this, but things together that work together, the negative synergy,
right,
of all this.
But if you in their minds, yes, that is correct, and we are pretty much, Vince, obviously, we know how, like, Billy Gunn, what he thinks. Jeez.
Yeah, Billy Gunn, yeah.
They have a culture of steroids is good, body-enhancing stuff is good. The science now can be, they're rich, they're not just sticking needles in their asses and just, you know, rolling the dice. This is lab tested and all that to the full, you know, to the highest, probably to the highest. So they feel this generation that wants to do that, they can, and also still be like fine 10 and 15 and 25 years from now because it's, we know how to manage it. We know how to, and this is their
exact rationale. Argument they made 15 years ago. It's the exact argument they made 25 years ago. And it's the exact argument that, you know, the medical mainstream, and I know, does not make. And until
right. But if you have
drugs,
but if you,
a lot of things, instead of road chemist and all that, drugs go
absolutely
to ensure as close as they can that they're safe. So
right, but the last point is
yes.
Is if that's happening and they're supposedly good and regimented and scientific and medical about it, and guys aren't doing the recreational stuff that they were, you know, in the heyday of the drug and steroid culture, like kind of combining. So they're not a bunch of dudes doing cocaine and, you know, meth and
yeah.
pills. There are certainly guys who use pills. It's just silly not to.
There you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is high-end, because I'm just hearing echo. I wonder if the callers can hear. If they can't hear it, or the listeners.
Can you hear echo from me? I thought I had this right.
No, it's just when I talk, I hear my voice again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that happened to me last week, as a matter of fact. So, let's change the subject to a much more pleasant subject, and that is, of course, the dollar sale here at PW Torch. Once a year we have our dollar sale. You can get a month's worth of VIP access, which includes 30 years of back stuff. It includes 75 hours per month, including the Wade Keller daily audio update that he does every single day. He's done for 6 years now straight. It's the greatest streak in professional wrestling history now that The Undertaker has lost his. And also the fix with Todd Martin, which I get reminded every day is really good. And got to meet Todd Martin. That was fun. And Waterloo. And on the way to Waterloo and next to the corn stalks and all that stuff. So, And then Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, the flagship. For a dollar, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find all the information for it. But you could just spend that dollar and spend the next month looking through all the archives, looking through all the retro audio, Jim Valley's retro audio, John Arezzi's. There's the idea that we have been, a ton of different topics that we have been, podcasts that we've been doing for over 11 years now. It's a great deal. Give that a try.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else. Live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched. And so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Go to Mike from Brooklyn. Mike, how you doing, man?
Hey, Bruce, how you doing? First, I want to start off. Did you hear Animal's little rant on Sasha Banks?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Animal made a comment about like how WWE is cramming her down people's throats, and I disagree with him. I'm in total disagreement with him.
Bizarre, yeah. I've seen guys get crammed down people's. I mean, I've seen acts get crammed down people's throats, and Sasha Banks isn't it. I mean, she's getting, you know, she won the title. She's getting a, you know, promotional push as a women's wrestler. But, I mean, you can say that about, you know, whoever the top new guys are in some promotion, Roman Reigns or whoever. But that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think that's surprising.
Yeah,
you know, maybe he just watches her and doesn't like her, but still.
Yeah, that's bad for me, too. He said, with the muscle and fitness cover she did, that. I'm like, Charlotte, you did the same magazine spread a couple months back. Like, am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, it kind of passes around John Cena to Vince McMahon to Triple H to whoever. And yeah.
Right.
I don't know that getting a magazine cover and some publicity in it, and, you know, a magazine ticket in 2016 is something getting crammed down their throats. I wonder,
I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Everybody has their opinion, but that's really funny.
Yeah. But
like I said, you could not like her, but she's not the primary focus of anything. She's the new women's champion. I guess she's the primary focus of one part of the show. Or she's part of the primary focus of one part of the show. She did a great job. I mean, Monday night you couldn't ask for a better match, you couldn't ask for a better reaction, better promo. But, your hero wins the big championship, how she acts. I mean, it's tremendous.
Yeah. And my second question, Bruce, is, I want to get your thoughts on it, the new Universal Championship. And do you see them putting it on Finn immediately or, let him get a little bit more warm and with a little bit more chase, or do you see it going to Seth?
Travis, do you think they're going to take Seth Rollins and he's going to win, or does Finn Balor go all the way through?
I just don't see them going all the way. And I'm not sure they should.
No, I'm not sure either. I think that it depends on how you do it. Putting him in that match, and they'll have a great match, that's going to really help him, continue the momentum he has from Monday and whatever they do with it. And then depending on how the match ends and what they do with him after that. I mean, I think he could really be helped with this. And then there's all the question of, you know, I mean, clearly he's a babyface, but there's the question of, you know, a Balor Club. There's all the, there's some places to go even after this. So, you know, and there's the question of, you know, how does he do his promos and how do people react to them and all that. But I mean, you know, great start. You know, great start. That's a model of how you shoot somebody with talent. You know, and try to make them a phenomenon, and they, you know, they're on their way. And so, yeah, I think Seth Rollins. I mean, I think it's Seth Rollins and Dean. You know, Seth Rollins with the Universal title and Dean Ambrose with the WWE title. You know, that seems pretty straightforward to me right now. So, you know, and things will change before SummerSlam too. Mike, you have anything else for us?
Yeah, actually, that was going to be the last question. Like, you know, on the SmackDown side of things, like, do you think like on that, are they trying to go, you know, full throttle with Dolph? Or, cause to me, I see it just as a in between opponent until Backlash. You know, and I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah,
Dean, yeah, I think he's tainted.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, it's gonna be really interesting. I mean, we got to see how do people take the Dolph Ziggler again? You know, after all this time and after 2 years of, you know, he was. When he kicked the Authority out and was the main player in that Survivor Series match 2 years ago, he was ready. And then it seemed like they were there. And then he just went back to being, you know, just, he could perform what they wanted to perform. So
he was cold then.
Yeah,
headed into that Survivor Series match, he wasn't featured going in. He was just still Dolph Ziggler, who had at that point for the last year floundered and lost on TV and complained about not getting an opportunity, but still just lost all his matches. And then he got that spot. Then they were like, oh, all right, fine. Well, great. Better late than, you know, never. Then they did nothing with him again, and it's been 2 years since then, or a year and a half, whatever. And this time I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm willing to give him that chance, but yeah, I think it's going to be really tough. But I think they'll have, you know, I think you'll have two great title matches at SummerSlam as far as, like, in the ring. They'll tear Brooklyn down. But we'll see how it helps them and all that. And do people believe that Dolph can they make people believe that Dolph can win this thing or give them hope that he can win this thing? Travis, I do have a question for you, though. Don't you think it's wrong that you didn't apologize at the beginning of the show for missing the entire show last Friday night while you were in Waterloo, Iowa, acting like a big shot?
While I was in Waterloo?
Yeah, don't you think you owe these people an apology? They come here every Friday night. You know, they're looking for something to download later on.
Well,
I mean, they're
well, sure.
People call us and
yeah,
you're not
for the
here.
For the people that showed up and it was dead air, in particular the live, you know, listening audience, sure, you know, my bad. But, you know,
yeah.
I was working for the Torch. I was with the editor of the site and the senior columnist. And so as far as, like, authority.
And the other host.
Who's to say I wasn't like, hey, guys, it's 15 minutes to showtime. I got my laptop here. You want to do this? You guys are like, no, we're going to drink beer and watch wrestling.
Yeah, that might have happened. And I do have to say, of the people that of last week whose fault it was, there's one person whose fault it was not, and that's James Caldwell. Everybody else, we all, you know, and we're sorry. We did. It was, you know, it was a really hectic, particularly that day was really hectic and running around. And I did get a little I got a text from James Caldwell and thought, the editor, I was like, okay, the editor and the assistant worked this out. I don't have to worry about it. And it's like, no, but I didn't open my mouth either. So that was my fault. But anyway, we're back. Appreciate everybody sticking with us. Hopefully, particularly for the VIP members, we had a ton of audio last week, a ton of news last week. So, and it was cool to be able to go back in the archives and find the stuff you haven't listened. But it was cool to be able to look people in the eye and have a conversation across the table. There's a different dynamic with that, particularly if the table smells. But I mean, it's something that we can do. So, let's go to. I'm gonna run that joke into the ground, Travis. You know that, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And no one knows what you're talking about. And good.
Oh, I think some people know what I'm talking about, from what I understand, from what the feedback I got. Oh, I should say this. Thanks everybody on Twitter. I did join Twitter. I don't know what was it 3 weeks ago. Mitchell at Mitchell PW Torch, at Mitchell PW Torch. So if you have not, if you're not following me, please do. And I guess Travis too at Traveler, right? Aren't you opening that back up?
Yeah, but it's not really necessary to promote it.
Plug it,
Bruce.
Okay, I take that back. All right, I'm sure we're going to edit that out.
Yeah, sure.
I have no doubt. So. Yeah, sure. So let's go to Brian from Phoenix, our VIP member, our friend Brian from Phoenix, Arizona. How are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, Bruce. Good afternoon, Travis. Hey, Bruce, great job on the Jim Ross show on Tuesday. And you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, it was just a good conversation. I mean, I think that, you know, I had the serendipity of doing the show right after Raw. And, you know, Raw was something special. Raw was one of the best shows they've had in years and years and a ton to talk about. And then there was the draft to talk about, the pay-per-view to talk about. There was even Brock Lesnar to talk about. And I really enjoyed talking to Ross. And, you know, he's succeeded at everything in the business there is to succeed at, I guess, except for wrestling itself. And he's done that too. You know, as far as he's done it, I wouldn't say he succeeded at it, but he's very smart, and there's a lot to talk about. So I enjoyed it immensely, and I appreciate everybody's feedback. It was pretty cool to get that chance to do that. And I'll say again, Wade Keller talked to Jim Ross in a different conversation for the PW Torch Livecast, which is up at pwtorchlivecast.com, and then it's also on the VIP feed, sans, and I was listening to it today, sans advertisements. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, Bruce, I have a couple comments, but first of all, I like, if you really wait till the end of the, when you're on Jim Ross's show, you would hear about how you praise Travis so much about him being the leading black wrestling journalist. So I'm glad, I appreciate how you did that, and you mentioned the East Coast cast as well.
Oh, you set me right up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. That's true.
So you two think about that one for a few minutes. But to be serious, I have two comments and then two comments and one question. My comment is something that Jim Ross did bring up. And the comment is I like what he said about as far as we need to really give the draft and the roster split at least up until WrestleMania before we can really critique it at that point. So I really like the point that he mentioned with that. I didn't hear who Mike said, or my second point, by the way, I didn't hear who Mike said about who Mike said that Sasha was being shoved down people's throats. So I'm not sure about who the person was. There's, you know, I know she's not being shoved down people's throats, but that's a very, I know it's saying a lot, or it's over talk because, for example, I'll still say that Roman Reigns was not shoved down our throats. And those of us who lived through the Attitude Era remember about what's being shoved down people's throat, which was Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was on like every 15-minute segment on Raw during its peak. Now, of course, he was the number one man in wrestling at that time, but that was being shoved down people's throats. So that's my two comments. My question is for both of you is about Ryback. So Ryback wasn't drafted. So my question to you, Bruce, and you, Trav, is that Ryback is a free agent right now. Should he go to either Raw or where would you put him? Would you put him on Raw or would you put him on SmackDown? And then would you put him on whichever one you would put him on? Would you put him on as a face or as a heel? So that's my question, Bruce, to you and Trav about Ryback. And I'll hold on and listen and see if you have any feedback for me.
Appreciate that. First, it was Animal of the Road Warriors. And one of the things about shoving down people's throats, I remember 25 years ago, Eric Watts, the son of Bill Watts, the father pushed him as the up-and-coming rising star in WCW. He was very green. He wasn't ready for it, and it was pushed back. To me, shoving someone down the fan's throat is when Roman Reigns is a little bit of an example of it, or somewhat of an example of it. When the fans are pushing back, no one, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he was exposed like crazy, it was a good, you know, good point with Brian. He was really popular. And, I say Sasha Banks, I don't see the pushback. I don't see the, you know, Eva Marie in NXT got shut down people's throats.
No, it's the opposite of pushback. That's all. They're just saying they're embracing Sasha. And they want her. And when she wasn't on TV, they chanted for her.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Is he watching the same product that the rest of us are? I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to say something like that. No, I'm not. No,
yeah,
it's not kind of. It's friggin' embarrassing to say something that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of what's going on there. But, I mean, yeah, it's like it's working. I mean, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin was working tremendously well at that point. You know, I've seen, you know, Hulk Hogan was, you know, was promoted heavily in the Hulkamania area, but I wasn't a fan, but it wasn't shoved down my throat because I thought, well, it's working. It's like you know, you're selling as much as, you know, supply and demand. So, you could make the argument that WWE wrestling programming is being shoved down our throat because I believe there's more hours of Raw and SmackDown than people really want, than viewers really want. But that's kind of, you know, trying to define these terms here is interesting. As far as Ryback, I would put him on SmackDown. SmackDown is the SmackDown right now. Its roster is not as strong as Raw's. And if I was bringing, I'd either bring him back as a babyface, and I would bring him back with the Feed Me More formula, similar to Goldberg, similar, you know, just keep him in short matches where he wins all the time until he, you know, that people know the formula and what's going to happen, and until it's time to screw him. And I would think very heavily about do I want to put this guy at the top of the promotion or not. And if I don't want to do those things, I think I don't bring him back. I don't think he's good as a mid card guy at all.
Yeah, this is going to sound like just like super terrible, but I set him up, and by set him up is I just test him. Legitimately test them, whether you got to dog them over a 2 or 3 month period to make sure you know to definitely catch him with something in his body, and then you fire him based off of it.
Yeah,
in some way or whatever. Well, just that's what I do, because I don't think he can. I don't think he should. Just not because of how he looks. I don't, you know, whatever. That's how he looks. But because he's Ryback. His skill level and the problems that he caused, I don't know, problems or potentially could in the future.
Yeah. Well, that's the other side of not having independent drug testing.
Yeah.
It's a little unethical, but yeah, you can use it that way too. So, and particularly if you catch him legitimately. So there's that, that's what I would do with him is either use him purely or not. I mean, you know, I don't think that – I think there's one role that he can play that might get over, and there's really not any other roles that he can play that might get over. Now, Travis, you know this. The PW Torch Livecast is sponsored by Loot Crate, a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com and enter code PWTorch to save $3 on any new subscription. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month, much like I surprised Travis Bryant with Vision Trade paperback. They also ship to 27 countries with more info on their site. Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans that share their experience and interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. Loot Crate guarantees $40 plus in value in every crate. Sometimes it's a lot more. Every month there's a different theme, and all items are curated around that theme. Themes are inspired by a major movie and video game releases, as well as pulling from pop culture franchises such as Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and many more. Again, head over to www.lootcrate.com and enter code PWTorch to save $3 on any new subscription. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and Kylan, welcome back to the PWA Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce and Travis, nice to have you guys back together on a Friday. Okay, my question for this week is in regards to wrestlers' mainstream transitions, and specifically, I am referring to John Cena. Does the renewal of John Cena's American Grit reality show provide further credence to the fact that John Cena may be able to transition out of the rest business more than we might believe that he would have?
I think that it means, and we're seeing it already, he's not going to make as many appearances for WWE going into, what is it, November, going into this new television season than he would previously, and he's doing work like this reality television show. He's got other opportunities, and he's working hard to explore them, and they have been, you know, the Roman Reigns push is about transitioning, partly about transitioning John Cena into more of, you know, of a legend, of the overall legend that can come back and wrestle big matches and be a special attraction, but doesn't have to be relied on every single day. He's worked really hard, and you know, he's still very effective in the ring. He's still very effective as a draw, but those days have been coming to a close, and you know, it shows in ratings. It shows in, you know, he's still the mainstay of the merchandise sales, but it's still pretty tough. You know, it's you know, that's where he's going, and he's in that interesting position of that The Rock was in, where here are these opportunities. And so, you know, wrestling is a work, and that storyline was a work. But there's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of ribbing on the square there with John Cena talking about, you know, Rock leaving, and a lot of hurt feelings about Rock leaving before they squeezed every ounce of exploitation out, WWE squeezed every ounce of exploitation out of him. But yeah, it's definitely something to watch and to also see, you know, how successful he is. And is it that he mixes mainstream with WWE, or does he go off and be like Rock is and just make special appearances? Travis?
I didn't know his show got the American Grit got re-upped, but I thought it was
I'm taking Kylan at his word, to tell you the truth. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. He's never steered me wrong when it comes to that stuff. I thought it was a ratings flop. Maybe it needs a second season, one of those kind of things that, oh, well, it needs to build. Not too many things like that left in TV or that get that treatment, but I guess he did something right. Probably the fact that he's John Cena. Interested to see if they take the same approach this year as far as how they promote it, or if they promote it, I should say, if they get back on the same time slot, they're gone. It's not going up against SmackDown. So that'll be...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Here's
to watch.
Friend,
and, yeah.
Confirming what Kylan reported. So, yeah, that's definitely there.
Twitter, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm on Twitter now. So,
yeah.
There is no more captured by social media than Travis Bryan. I mean, that's just a fact, though.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. So,
at the beginning of the show, Bruce, you reminded everyone, you know, I've been on Twitter, you know, or I'm on Twitter, it's been 3 weeks. Like, okay, you get to maybe say that one more time. And after like a month, you just say, here's my Twitter. You don't have to remind people how much of a geezer you are by saying, I just got there and I've been on there 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Yeah, so we get it. You're on Twitter.
Oh.
You're new to Twitter.
Okay.
Oh,
man.
I don't know how I spent 10 days with you and
here it comes. I figured I was getting this on the ride back from Waterloo. I mean, you waited.
No,
you
crazy.
Because
everything was great.
On me. All right, let's hear this. This is reality.
No.
Podcast.
10 days together in relatively close, comfortable quarters, but you know, always around each other, 10 straight days, hours in a car, and awesome time, great to hang, all that. You bought me the damn Vision book. That was tremendous. Now I'm, Avengers, West Coast Avengers and Avengers AI. I got, downloaded. But it takes for you to come back and for the sake of a cheap joke that I didn't even hear, you had the opportunity to, I don't know, you know, you want to say my damn name here, to say my name on JR's thing and who I am, what I do, and you did not. So thanks, Brian, for even, making that an issue. Yeah. Go down a damn list.
The first time Wade was on Stone Cold, I was like, I had the exact same attitude you did right now. So and I did name some names. I just
you made the whole goddamn list today. Yes, you did.
I know. And you were okay with it until Brian brought it up.
I wasn't going to give you the satisfaction. Like, maybe I sell it, or maybe I got wind of it, maybe I do.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of what's different about you than them that would cause me to, no, okay, let me work this through. All right.
Oh, my God. No, I think it's just you, you know, trying to get me, and it's like, oh, man, there's other places to, you know.
No, no, it was not. It was not. It was me just, you know, rolling through a bunch of stuff on JR. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
sure.
So, man. All right, in that case, we need to clear the room.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
You know, it's worth mentioning that Jim Valley will be on tomorrow with the Saturday Morning Wrestling Show, and he will be at the NWA Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Hilton, and that starts on Thursday, as will I, as will friend of the show, Britt Whitmire, as friend of these shows, Britt Whitmire. And I think Britt Whitmire and Jim Valley will be doing a show on Wednesday, with special guests lined up for that, and it ought to be really interesting. I have a great time at the Fan Fest. I'm going there. I'm going to the banquet. I'm going to do all that stuff and be around that weekend. And so, as much as I had a good time in Waterloo, I'm really happy about the idea of turning around and going to Fan Fest. And it has, you know, again, lots of wrestlers to meet. Jim Ross will be there again, and so Ross, who was unable to make the Waterloo, Iowa this year, will be at FanFest, and there'll be a tribute to Dusty Rhodes by his America's Team tag team partner, going into the Hall of Heroes, Magnum TA, and that's pretty cool. Lots of different Bob Caudle and Tony Schiavone for the first time at one of these Legends FanFest at a nostalgia show, and that ought to be interesting. It's always cool to run into and talk to, just like, you know, Travis, we got to do this in Waterloo. Talked to a lot of Torch folks, and it's always cool to run into them in Charlotte, too. So I'm looking forward to next weekend with that. Jim Valley with the Saturday Morning Wrestling Show coming live from NWA Fan Fest at the Hilton in Charlotte, at the University Hilton in Charlotte. Go to 732-732. You're up next on PW Church Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Travis. Scott, Jamesburg, New Jersey. What's happening, fellas?
Oh, for crying out loud, I did it again. All right, anyway, sorry, Scott. Although I did hear you on with Jim Ross yesterday, so I think you're kind of getting – what's the word I'm looking for here, Travis? Getting a little prolific.
Don't look to me.
Okay. Promiscuous, maybe, is the word I'm looking for. Hello, Scott.
You and Bruce, you were great with JR on the Ross Report. Great listen, really great listen. And I told you this last week, Travis. So seriously, your guys' feed—it was just so fun getting a glimpse of your guys' week. It looks like you guys had such a great week. 9 days, whatever. The Hall of Fame, all the extra bonus audio was amazing. You know, you guys doing the two parts of the draft review was really great. It was really great to listen to it. The timing was great with you guys being there for the pay-per-view and for the draft. It was awesome.
Thanks, man.
Well, guys, real quick, my question, Bruce, my question today, and Trav, is one thing I enjoyed about SmackDown was the way I liked they saw, you know, the Shelton Benjamin thing and I also liked what I saw when they showed American Alpha. Do you guys see any, you know, I've heard rumors of people coming in and people signing contracts. Have you guys heard any definites who are definitely coming in? Or not yet?
Curtis Hawkins, and there was another one too.
Who? Hawkins?
Yeah, Curtis Hawkins, yeah. Did I put an S on it?
Coming back?
Huh? Yeah. And Jinder Mahal
Hawkins
is the other one.
Yeah, I guess. But Curtis, talking or whatever.
And they're talking to a lot of folks. I mean, I think, you know, I think there's some, you know,
Yeah, but there's a lot of folks out there that you don't have to bring friggin' Curtis Hawkins.
Well, I mean, you don't have to bring, you get some experienced guys to work on the television shows, and maybe they don't get much of a promotional push, if you know what I'm saying. If they're enhancement talent, they do, you know, they help get new talent ready. I'm not sure what they have in mind. I mean, Jinder Mahal makes sense to me just because they're going to be, from now for the next 100 years, trying to crack the India market. So we're going to see, you know, whoever's available for that is going to get preferential treatment.
So before I forget again, and since you said enhancement talent, but James Ellsworth, Bruce, he's becoming a bit of a, you know, cult guy. I mean, in the few days that we've had to digest that squash match, that epic physically and visually epic squash match, is he this generation's, this year's, you know, Colin Delaney? Like, remember him?
Yes.
Like, shows up every week, you know, taped up with a different, you know, am I 4 weeks in, he's just a walking, mummy. Cause he's just
Someone I showed you on the WWE Network, including like, you know, that was great. Rude and Bull, that was funny. I showed you on the network, which was the ultimate example of this, Mulkey Mania, Bill and Randy Mulkey, who are these two just translucently white, blonde, enhancement talent that the Road Warriors and everybody else, the Midnight Express and everybody else, would just roll through every week because they sold so great. And then they just like made everybody look like monsters. And yeah, I think James Ellsworth was very reminiscent, both in look and how he talked and everything else. I liked that they gave him a promo. I liked they gave him a little purpose, and he played it so well. Like, you know, this is, I got to take my opportunity. But you can see very clearly that he's thinking he's going to take a whooping, and he took one. So I thought that was something we talked about, them kind of going back to that to get over the guys they're trying to get over, and then have a little fun with the enhancement talent. So it was, you know, that was cool. And, yeah, he's,
do you think
he's got some
he,
status,
he,
I think.
Yeah, he comes back, right? He's like there again next week or the week after or something, right?
I would pull him in and out for the right one.
Yeah,
plus
it's either next week or 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, like they had with Braun Strowman, it's like I put him in with I'd put him in again with another monster and have him get squashed again and have him make a little bit of a speech or have him get squashed again and, you know, maybe have a little minor story of, you know, of this guy's getting crushed by these guys, but he keeps coming back and see if you can't sell some T-shirts with his name on it, because I bet you could turn him into a cult figure and make a little money off of him.
I think he's a promoter himself in Baltimore. Think Baltimore. So it's a really fun story. If anything, I'm like, this guy is probably going to, you know, his promotion probably gets some attention now just locally, and he makes some money and has a little cult status for a summer. That should be nice.
Yeah,
and so, what about your buddy Braun Strowman being a good corporate wrestling citizen?
I hated
the ending
that
of the show, and you
I
know,
hated that. God. Ugh. Yeah.
Stood on the
I hated
apron
Bray
like
Wyatt,
a,
like, coming out.
Oh, no, that was
Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt did come out a little later on SmackDown, but he still did it. I'm just like, ugh, I hated that. You've got this pyromaniac legend, Kane, and he's standing like, okay. You know, it's like, it's one thing, you know, they made a big deal out of his one personality was, you know, corporate Kane was like, would be right in there, and the other personality would not be, and there's Kane with the mask on doing that crap. So it's just,
right.
We're not lining up to go to recess. I mean, that's just, I hate that. And it was totally unnecessary. They can go out there and make it. I liked how both shows didn't rely too much on the authority figures, but the authority figures can make whatever announcement they need to make without the entire cast of the Broadway show standing. I mean, it's just, you know, I hate that. Did I say I hated it? I hate it. So anything else for us?
Yeah, guys, my last thing is, you know, with them bringing in, to follow up with them bringing people in, I probably brought it up before. Could you see them bringing in Rey Mysterio Jr. back with them trying to reach out for guys based on his work in Lucha Underground?
I think, you know, he's a legendary name in WWE. He's a legendary name in wrestling in this era. And, I think they wanted to keep him under contract, and he wasn't happy, and then he's done what he's done there. But I think at some point, is it this year, next year, somewhere down the line, and not too long away from now, we'll see Rey Mysterio back in WWE. Travis?
I don't think so, and he's another one that I, for different reasons, that I just don't see coming back. I mean, they never say never, and everybody always comes back, but I don't think it's worth the – I don't know if it's a risk, especially it depends on what they pay him, but why? I mean, I don't think he – just, I guess, being Ray and having the mask and the outfits and stuff is something, but he's been gone for a while. I mean, the crowd, they didn't boo him, but still, he couldn't hold off the boos at the Rumble 2 or 3 years ago when – when
they
he was number 30
Brock.
And people realized Trav, Brian wasn't out.
I don't, Trav, I don't think anyone could have come out there and not.
No, you're right. Probably. But still, I just don't think Rey Mysterio is worth promoting. It's like the Lucha schedule, like that's something I think he can do. That and it would work for various reasons. For him, for the show. But what's he going to go out on the road and wrestle? Come on. Gotta be on the shelf in 6 weeks.
How about this, Trav? How about this, and Bruce? How about you bring him in to be work with the cruiserweights? Because he is a good influence in the locker room. And have him work with the cruiserweights Monday night just on Raw.
Try to keep up with Rich Swann.
Depending
on what you still do, there are ways to do that, and there are ways to do that. I think you use him as a legend. I think you use him as the cornerstone of it of the cruiserweight division. But you don't. He's not the center of it now. He's not the face.
No.
Of,
yeah.
You definitely have, but. I think also, I think he's, as long as he can do a few of his signature things, his signature spots and be Rey Mysterio and have that mask, I think he's marketable. I think he could do something. But, yeah, I kind of disagree with you about that. But that's somewhere to – Scott, appreciate the calls. Appreciate all the support all the time. And like I said, we'll talk to you, I hope, next week and along the way, too.
Thanks as always, guys. And Bruce, have a great time at the Fan Fest.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You need to come down. I know you got young children, so that can kind of be problematic. But I would say just
kind of
put them in a box or something and keep them in the hotel room. So.
I would love to get a weekend down there. It would be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see you. All right.
Listen, talk to you soon, guys. Keep it up. Thanks, guys.
Assuming by this number that this is Jason from Australia, but it may not be. Jason?
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. How you going, Bruce and Travis?
That's awesome.
I want to get into it. I've got a few things I wanted to talk about. In relation to Lesnar and the wellness policy, I thought the whole point behind the wellness policy was to protect the performers and their wellness because the WWE were trying to do the right thing. So by not testing Lesnar and part-time performers, are they saying that we don't care about their wellness?
No, it means they're much more responsible for their own.
I would say that we like what they bring to the table, and we're willing to look the other way because if they didn't bring that to the table, then we wouldn't get their money drawing ability, and we can look like we're responsible with our mid card. We can look like we're responsible with our, you know. It's worth saying the reason why they do the part-time thing was because in 2007, in the aftermath of the Benoit murder-suicide, Vince McMahon was brought up in front of a congressional subcommittee, and they had announced they'd already started their wellness policy. They announced it that was in there and asked if he was, since he was a performer in the ring and a performer on the shows, if he was subject to the policy, and he got really angry, and that's when they decided for some reason that part-timers weren't subject to it. His excuse was he was 62 years old, so he shouldn't be subject to it. This is the same time he was on the cover, same era when he was on the cover of Muscle and Fitness magazine. It's a game, in my opinion, it's a game that they've been playing that's falling apart, and they need to up their drug testing game. I mean, and reach the standards, and particularly McMahon has said in the past that we're ahead of everybody. And they kind of needed to be, and they weren't, but they needed to be ahead of everybody because of the reputation the business had rightfully built up in 20 years since about 1984. And so, they need to adjust again now. I don't know if they're going to, and with an ardent fan base that's, I don't think it matters to the fan base, although it should. I don't understand rooting for people and then not caring about their health and their well-being. But I think that they're not huge and in mainstream, and so it may be like Travis says. They may be able to just, you know, they're WWE. No one thinks any more of them than to do this. And if the guy suspended all these other places, well, wrestling's fake, and WWE has always been about steroids, and they have not. They have not changed enough to change that perception, but it's going to cost. If that happens and they do that, it's going to cost them money in ways that they have no, you know, ways that you can't count. It's going to cost them a lot of money. It's a bad thing.
Yeah, but I think you and I both know, Bruce. They cannot function. They cannot work at the breakneck level that they do the way they do it if they had a serious, transparent drug testing policy. They would not be able to travel the way they do, to book as many shows per week that they do. Absolutely would not without chemicals.
That's an interesting assumption. That's a really interesting assumption. And
I think it's more than an assumption.
Out of
I mean,
that
just
assumption,
think
what
about
follows
if they did.
From that assumption is really interesting.
Think about if they did. Just go through it. Like, okay, they test everybody fairly, rigorously, relatively to, you know, how modern sports, major sports are, and or whatever. And guys have to get off the shit, all kinds of shit. Well, they're not going to hold up of a year of traveling and wrestling, you know, 150 times a year. Not going to happen.
I think what does that mean? What does that say if it can't? Can you have a full-time major league wrestling promotion? I mean, if you can't, what does that say? Jason, what do you think about this? And clearly you have strong opinions about it.
Well, I was really just looking into the actual term, like the wellness policy. It's just an interesting term for me. And I agree with you, Bruce and Travis. I mean, there's plenty of holes in this policy as far as, you know, if you're looking on it from the outside, looking in, there's plenty of questions to ask. Look, I've always marveled at the way these professional wrestlers can go about week after week, 4 days on the road, 3 days off, and do what they do. The travel, the working out, getting the diet in, the bumps they take. But then it makes me think of what it was like, you know, 20 years ago when you hear of guys doing 30, 60 days continuously on the road. I almost feel like it's almost become like common that we hear that and think, oh, okay. It's almost become like a norm that, oh, you did 30 to 60 days back in the day. But when you really break it down and explain that to someone who's not used to the industry, I mean, that's just mind-boggling. So if they would have had this wellness policy back in the 90s with all our favorite character superstars, if you like, I think there'd be three strikes and out, plenty of them. But maybe a lot of them would still be alive today. So it's a bit of a catch-22. I sometimes feel guilty enjoying these characters, knowing what that police.
I thought Jim Ross asked me a question at the end of the show that was a very good question. What about the other companies? And just for history's sake, WCW never had any. ECW never had it. God almighty, ECW didn't have any drug testing, and WCW didn't have any either. And if you go through the roster and see what happened to major players on both those rosters, and Lars Hearts and everything else, you can see kind of the damage. What would have happened if, you know, and WWE stopped and WWE is a great test. They stopped testing because they felt like they had to match whatever WCW was doing to be able to attract talent, to be able to just do what they do to stay in business. And so they stopped. And then you can look, you know, there's case study after case study. And two, here's three I'll point you to: Brian Pillman, Eddie Guerrero, and Chris Benoit. But I mean, that's why I'm like, I see the cycle starting back again and the slackness getting in, and it's been there for a while. And I know that doesn't pass without consequence. And the schedule is better, but it's still a really rough schedule. The testing that they do, and they do test, slows down the use. But this thing of the guys who are getting the top, you know, it's one thing for CM Punk to complain about Special Attractions coming in. It's another thing for Special Attractions to have a competitive advantage over the workaday workers. And that's tough. So,
I don't know if it's at this point too late or too, you know, whatever, but would that work in his case? If he could somehow use that and say, see what just came out their contract, you know, with these, I don't think so. Against Amon. Now that's all get through. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, part of the issues with them, I don't know how the particulars of his lawsuit and it hasn't, you know, what he did with them. Part of the issue was the treatment that he got the from the doctors. And so if there's right. inconsistent treatment, if there's inconsistent, you know, maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe that would help him. And what he specifically alleged, you know, with them or what, you know, what he said about the doctors and they're suing him, you know, the doctor suing him back. So we'll see with that.
Storyline point of view, like with the brand split, look, I'm quite optimistic about SmackDown and I'm quite optimistic about what I saw last week. In particular with Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose, I can buy into the story that Ziggler, you know, struggled the past, you know, several months, perhaps a year, but he got a big win over a top guy like AJ Styles, and now he's the number one contender. I don't particularly care about how good the match is. I want to see a good match, but I'm interested in seeing what the story they tell. And to me, from what I've been tracking, I don't think Dolph Ziggler has ever beaten Dean Ambrose in a one-on-one match. So I think they can play that into the story. And I would like to see Ambrose defeat Ziggler clean and then have Ziggler snap and turn heel. And I'd like to see a whole brand new Dolph Ziggler as far as his character is concerned, because I still believe he's got a lot to offer. And then you can go into a backlash with a heel aggressive Ziggler up against Ambrose. The other thing I'd like to see is that I know for a fact that Ziggler, Miz, and Ryder are best friends in real life. We've seen the chemistry with the New Day. We've seen the chemistry with the club. Why not go ahead and turn Ryder heel, have them form a group, and see what you can get out of Ryder? He's a good performer. He's been doing this goofy gimmick for 6 years now. Maybe a complete refresh, have a heel group with a Ziggler, Ryder, and Miz. Just put some freshness into that product and see what you can do out of it. So, you know, to me, the matches are great as far as quality, but I want to see a good story being told. And, you know, that could give you several weeks of, you know, compelling stories. You know, this new heel group up against Ambrose, and he can be that, you know, that underdog trying to overcome this. Just something to throw out there.
No, I agree with it. I mean, I think that the brand split has opened the doors for that kind of storytelling. There's more room for it. Hell, 3 hours of Raw, there's plenty of room for it anyway. But it's like that. But they seem to like be looking with fresh eyes at things. So, and Vince is looking fresh eyes with things. So, yeah, those are some possibilities. And I think, you know, with the two shows, they do need some acts to replenish themselves. And I don't know if they can, but it's worth a shot. And I do think I don't think a ton about Zack Ryder one way or the other. I think he is what he is. But yeah, I think that would be. That'd be worth pursuing, you know, to go the opposite direction after all these years of being the, you know, being the on social media mascot. Do something else, and a heel turn might help him. And I know they like the chemistry with Maurice and Miz, but Miz having some, you know, having some cronies to do bad things with might be a good idea. More cronies, I should say.
And the other thing in relation to Raw, look, I'm a big fan of the Universal title and having both titles, I have to admit. You know, what I found interesting, though, Bruce and Travis, is that I thought they missed a really big opportunity to promote this week would be the first week that we're going to hear from Finn Balor after he had a magnificent Raw. And I thought, you know, the key for me is when he had to mention, the few words that he said was, "Oh, I don't need luck, I'm Irish." It's almost like McMahon needed him to say that to convince the audience that this guy's beating Rusev, he's beating Reigns, we know he's small, but it's okay, he's Irish like me. We know the Irish are tough, so you can buy into him beating them. I just thought that was a very interesting choice of words.
Yeah, but if you go back to, you know, why Hulk Hogan is named Hulk Hogan is because Vince's father took one look at Sterling Golden and said, "No, you need an ethnicity, and so he became Irish. And then they never followed through on it because the transition came, and Hogan got over by being Hulk Hogan and created the whole character. He and Vern Gagne and Greg Gagne, they created that whole character. But yeah, the idea originally was Irish, and Vince was Irish, but I don't know that, you know, and of course I bet there's a little bit of the Conor McGregor thing going on here too. So, you know, I don't know if this is a huge selling point of the character or not, but I think you're right. I think that his first promo on Raw is going to be a key for him. And I would imagine, you know, he'll be well prepared for it. We'll see how he does. Jason, as always, good to talk to you again. Sorry about last week. We were just really overrun, and talk to everybody. Travis, you got me. And Brian's right. So anyway, I will talk to you guys. PW Torch Livecast tomorrow with Jim Ballard on the Saturday morning show. All right, guys, talk to you later.